Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good morning and welcome to the second hour of your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. For the president's recent visit to the United Kingdom, Sadiq Khan, who is the mayor of London, said Britons needed to tell President Trump that, in his words, that Trump was the poster child for the worldwide far-right movement.
And surely we should be saying, listen, you know, you do realize you're a poster boy for the far-right movement around the world, from Hungary to Italy, France to the UK. And also we should be saying, you know what, we think we face a climate emergency. We think you made a mistake walking away from the Paris Climate Change Accord. Will you think about coming back? Can we persuade you to come back? And I could go on. And my point is, Theresa May is so weak as a prime minister, and our government is so scared that it wouldn't say boo to a goose. And I think
that's boo to a goose. That's a new phrase from Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London. Well, the president got his chance to fire back at a news conference with Theresa May, where he blasted Sadiq Khan and his leadership of London.
Well, I think he's been a not very good mayor, from what I understand. He's done a poor job. Crime is up, a lot of problems. And I don't think he should be criticizing a representative of the United States that can do so much good for the United Kingdom. We talked about it before. He should be positive, not negative. He's a negative force, not a positive force. And if you look at what he said, he hurts the people of this great country. And I think he should actually focus on his job. It'd be a lot better if he did that. He could straighten out some of the problems that he has and probably some of the problems that he's caused.
That's President Trump responding to London Mayor Sadiq Khan. Bringing things back closer to home, joining me now on the phone is Democratic State Representative Greg Harris, the Illinois House Majority Leader. Leader Harris, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
And I know it's a few days later, but again, a happy birthday to you as well.
Well, thank you very much.
Only person I know who gets a birthday shout out at a budget signing press conference. But you truly, I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm not sure that there is anybody who knows more about budget making and what's in the state budget than you do.
Well, yeah, a lot of us worked really hard on it from, you know, both the Republican side and the Democrat side, along with, you know, Governor Pritzker, you know, to pass a bipartisan balanced budget this year. So a lot of people put a lot of work into this.
Certainly that April surprise of revenues coming in had to be kind of a key aspect of this, kind of, and almost maybe a glue that kept things together.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I mean, that was a total blessing to get that amount of money in. It allowed us to do a supplemental to pay down some expenses from FY19. We also saw an increase in base revenues going forward. You know, sales taxes up, you know, some income tax collections going up. They're going to provide a little stability going into the future also.
So we are, I mean, because that seemed to be something that was unsure of how much in the future we could kind of count on that kind of, not certainly the $1.5 billion.
When you get a big, you know, 1 month bump like that, our analysts always go in and look and say, look, how much of this is, you know, a one-time change due to the federal tax policy changes in Trump's tax law, where, you know, different corporations were able to get some advantages. You know, that's a one-time effect. But then you also look at, you know, are there increases in base revenues? Are people spending more money in our stores and our restaurants, and sales taxes going up? And we saw some of that too. Cautionary note, though, for everybody is that in, you know, the public hearings leading up to putting the budget together, the different economists from the Department of Revenue, from the governor's office, from private sector, all said, you know, they're looking at in the next year, you know, signs that point to a slowdown in the economy and possibly a recession. So, you know, we have to, you know, temper our expectations, also keeping that in mind.
How well prepared are we for a recession?
Illinois is probably not as prepared as a lot of other states because of the damage done by the budget impasse over the last 4 years. We're getting better. We're trying to do better this year. We provided about $1.4 billion to pay down our backlog of old bills. If the fair tax passes, that will help us stabilize our economy and rationalize our tax system, something that the bond houses and the rating agencies are looking for. We're paying all of our pension obligations fully, so that's another key structural strength. But there's still a lot of work to do.
Well, and touching on the fact that, and here again, that was that kind of the receipt of that April surprise, and Leader Brady mentioned it earlier too, of making that pension payment. To me, that looked like that was going to be a very serious problem if an attempt to try to push the ramp down the road and free up that $800 million payment.
It is a difficult and intractable problem Illinois has had for a long time, and one that we're going to have to continue addressing for a number of years. If you look at what we're paying for our actual annual pension costs, we're paying what we should be paying for the employees we have now. The thing that we have to figure out how to address is the pension obligation that is historic. That it's a debt that's owed for past pension payments, and under previous governors, there have been pension holidays where the state did not make its complete share of the payment, so we have to account for that. And in the Great Recession, anyone else who had investments, our pension funds lost a huge number of assets, lost a lot of asset value, and we're still having to make up for that. So taking care of that backlog is something we're going to be focusing on for a number of years.
When you mentioned about the supporters call it, the fair tax, the graduated rate income tax, but at the same time, people talk about how that's going on the ballot. How come there isn't going to be a pension reform amendment to the Constitution?
Well, there was not one put forward for us to vote to put on the ballot this session. And I believe also Governor Pritzker has assembled a team to come up with a comprehensive plan on addressing the pension backlog. They're going to be meeting through the summer, as I understand it, and coming up with a menu of recommendations, policy recommendations that will give us a path within the constraints of the different court orders that are governing us and that have told us what we can or cannot do about pensions. I believe they're going to be coming forward with a package of solutions.
Well, that's why I'm curious when people say about amending the Constitution for pensions, it's like you can't really change anything. I mean, we've already kind of made through various tiers changes in pensions for new hires and those hired more recently. We're still dealing with the constraints that we're under with this debt from the original pension system.
The ways that we can address it have been rather limited by the courts, so it'll be interesting to see what the recommendations are that we get on a path forward that is not going to be tied up in courts, that is not going to be something that's going to be declared unconstitutional, that will really work and really help it put us down a path toward solving some of these problems.
We're speaking with the Illinois House Majority Leader, Democratic State Representative Greg Harris of Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joining me on the phone is Democratic State Representative Greg Harris of Chicago. He is the Illinois House Majority Leader. We're talking about the recently adjourned spring session. And in fact, it's kind of funny when we pass a budget and that's news, given what we went through during the budget impasse under the Bruce Rauner administration.
Well, and it's actually really good news, because I think what a lot of people are saying is, to a sense, from Phil, look, you folks, you go down there and you figure out a way to work together, find some compromises, get things back on track, you know, bring jobs to our state, you know, make our schools better, shore up our, you know, colleges and universities, and stop the fighting. And you know, that's what we did this year. And I think if you look at what has changed over the last 4 years, is we have a new governor, and instead of being a divider, you know, Governor Pritzker has, you know, rolled up his sleeves, and he's gone to both sides of the aisle, and he said, we're going to get things done, and we're going to compromise. Not everyone's going to get everything they wanted, but everyone's going to get something they wanted. And he was able to bridge a lot of gaps, not just on the budget, but you know, also the issue of, you know, casinos and gaming that has, you know, lingered for years and years without, you know, getting successfully concluded. You know, passing recreational marijuana, reforming Medicaid, another thing that sort of went under the radar, but you know, major reforms to Medicaid to make it more cost efficient and more transparent for the people of the state of Illinois. So a lot of stuff got done, and it was because in a lot of ways J.B. Pritzker got together and he said, we're going to figure out how to do this, and we went and did it.
Well, and you know, I asked Leader Brady about this, and not that Republicans agreed with everything with the Democratic majorities, but just whether there wasn't more of a sense of normalcy that existed in Springfield.
Oh, heck yeah. Absolutely. Bipartisan committees met, went through the budget line by line. Bipartisan working groups worked on all these big issues, whether it was, you know, gaming or the capital plan or the various, you know, changes to our ethics, you know, sexual harassment and discrimination laws. You know, people were pulling together. And, yeah, there were a lot of arguments. There were a lot of disagreements. People have, you know, very honest differences of opinion on policy, and there were fights about that, but it wasn't this, you know, sort of depressing, interminable, you know, slog that we had seen the last couple of years.
And I do also think there was a desire, not just among Democrats, but Republicans as well, of kind of wanting to show something for their work and going to Springfield and to bring something back, which I think is what helped motivate some of those Republican votes for the capital program.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone wants to go back to their district and say, you know, I've accomplished something, and I've helped our community, and I've helped create jobs. You know, if you're a Republican who represents, you know, one of the districts in central and southern Illinois, where a lot of our public universities are located, for the last 4 years, you know, all you've been able to go back home and see was, you know, people losing their jobs, students fleeing the state because of the uncertainty. So, you know, there was a lot of reason to stabilize things for both Republicans and Democrats.
You know, I also mentioned this to Leader Brady, too, and I was kind of curious, even when Dan Hines, a former comptroller who's now deputy governor for Governor Pritzker, was on the show, about, you know, obviously not a lot of time to put together a budget in the first place, but still, whether there might not have been some kind of attempt at buy-in with Republicans and the public of trying to identify some kinds of cuts, just as a show of good faith.
And yeah, the budget process goes on for many months, and you've seen it when you're down at the Capitol. There are hearings. You know, people have an opportunity to come and testify. So, you know, there are a lot of opportunities, a lot of compromises get made, and, you know, at the end of the day, whatever budget passes, as long as I've been involved in this, people have always said, oh, you could have done more in this area, or you shouldn't have done so much here. So, you know, next year, hopefully we can continue to do even a better job.
I want to ask you, too, about the constitutional amendment for changing Illinois to a graduated rate income tax. And coupled with that, I'm curious about the issue of property tax relief. And, you know, there is legislation signed into law that you would get, I would say, a modest increase in that income tax credit for property taxes paid in Illinois if that amendment comes to pass. But I think there's still a desire to see something much more substantive when it comes to property tax relief than what about the $60 or so that the average homeowner might receive as a tax credit as a result of that increase in the income tax credit? I'm wondering about your feelings on that.
Absolutely. And if you saw part of what was passed is the package that, you know, puts the fair tax question on the ballot for the voters of Illinois to decide was, you know, establishment of a task force, a bipartisan group to develop recommendations for, you know, how we can, you know, at the same time, you know, on a parallel track, use the additional income that's come to the state of Illinois and cause a reduction in property taxes charged largely by local schools. There's another function going on that's separate from that, and I just want to point that out, and that is in the evidence-based model of funding for public education that's in the state budget. This year, you know, we put in an additional $375 million of state money to fund education, and a goal there is to allow school districts to lower their local property tax levies because they're getting more from the state. Our Constitution requires the state to be the primary funder of elementary and secondary education. We need to step that up, and the more money the state puts in, the less local districts, which are the largest portion of like my property tax bill, and I assume everyone else's, it's the school districts, it will allow them to get lower tax rates on local tax property taxpayers.
And let's see if it happens. That's the goal is, you know, and through that evidence-based funding and the annual $350 million-plus increases in funding. But it's a two-way street with the school districts as well.
Well, the school districts have got to, you know, make the decision to take that money and replace local property tax resources with it. That's something they'll need to decide.
That's Democratic State Representative Greg Harris, Illinois House Majority Leader, Democrat from Chicago. Leader, thank you so much for joining me, and enjoy the work ahead this summer.
Okay, thanks.
We'll be back with more right after this.